Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, look. When gas prices jump, you still gotta work. So suddenly you're cutting back on everything from family vacations to cell phone. Well, here's a thought. How about cutting back on gas? Here's how. The Ford F-150. It gets 23 highway miles per gallon. That's the best. So you can get the job done and get a break in the pump. Yeah, can you hear me now? This is the future. This is the Ford F-150.
Hey, everybody. It's Daryl from Barbecue Superstars. And I want to say hey to everybody out there. Robbie Roll just put out on Facebook that he went through surgery. He's doing good. Doing a good job. Glad to hear that he made it through. Everything's fine. And hope he's doing well tonight. And I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's just about over. And been a great Christmas season. I've had a good time. And I did a little chicken wing prep on video. And we had a little panel come out and check out the wing sauces that we use. Of course, we used the Big Time Barbecue sauce and Smoking Cold. But we used one called Ass Whooping Golden Sauce. And we also used Wing Time. Now, Wing Time is a Big Time commercial hot wing sauce. You know, you might walk into any Buffalo Wild Wing place and get Wing Time. Extremely hot. Even the mild's hot. They got a super hot that might be pure capsicum. I refuse to try it. But it's good. I mean, it's a good commercial sauce. It's what you would expect, you know, if you was to walk into a Wild Wings or those kinds of places. You know, we use ass-whooping sauce, which I figured, you know, ass-whooping barbecue sauce would be in last place. I thought Smoking Coals would easily win. I thought Wing Time would have an opportunity to win, you know, because, I mean, when you think about, you know, wings, barbecue wings or buffalo wings, you know, to me, you know, you're talking about real hot, drink a beer, makes it a little hotter. You're watching the game, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, of course, now the judges I had were three ladies. So, you know, we weren't talking about some big strapping guys that might head down to the sports bar. You know, the results to me were kind of shocking. I never expected what to happen. And I made a little scorecard up, but it was just really a first, second, third place scorecard. And then I asked the three ladies if you know, they were more interested in the full wing or the partial wing. You know, when you go to some of these wing buffalo wing places, they give you two pieces to make up a wing. And I don't know if you buy 30, you buy 30 pieces. You don't buy 30 wings, which there's a substantial difference in the amount of chicken that you get. If you get 30 full wings, I mean, you got a lot of meat. If you get, you know, 30 pieces, you've only actually got 15 wings. So makes a big difference in the amount of profit they make, I'm sure. Let me just play a little segment here, and let's see what their initial result was of eating these chicken wings.
Okay, Amanda, you're taking a bite of those first two. Which one do you like the better, or what's your impression?
Well, the first one's sweet. It's okay. Second one is good. Third one, I think, is the hottest.
It's hot.
It's hot, but it's good.
That's the ass-whooping sauce.
That is good.
Okay, hold on a
second. I've got barbecue sauce all over me. You can't eat wings without barbecue sauce.
Okay, what's your impression?
So far, I think the Wing Time is the hottest. It has that after kick to it. Mm-hmm. Woken Coals, it's a little warm, but it's more sweet. And the ass whooping, we're about to find out.
Yeah.
I like the ass whooping better.
Oh, the ass whoop is the best one.
Yeah.
Okay, just smile and wave at me.
I can see why, you know, you really shouldn't talk in the judging room now because, I mean, they talk to each other. And now the first lady who talked, she got it mixed up. When she said this one's hot, she was talking about Wing Time barbecue sauce. And then the second one she was talking about was Smoking Coals. And then the third one, of course, was ass whooping sauce. And then the second lady that talked, she got it exactly right. And when she was talking about this one's hot, that was the garlic version of Wing Time. And even the, you know, garlic version that's not exactly the hottest one they make was still, I mean, it's not, I'm not going to say that it's like a 10 out of 10 hot, but it's, you know, it's got a little heat to it. And so, you know, she didn't get it. She got it exactly right. The second lady did. Now, ass whooping sauce, of course, we sell it on our website. And what I want to start doing is doing videos with all these barbecue sauces. I got 2,000 barbecue sauces on my website. And see, you know, which one is more favorable on what kind of barbecue that we're cooking. And we hopefully have got a backwoods smoker coming, and then we'll be able to work with the backwoods, which will add smoke to the flavor, which might actually like change the flavor profile, whereas what sauce is chosen, because all these sauces really are put together with smoke, you know, being in the mix. So, you know, that'll be a substantial change. So here's the let's see. We've got a second segment that I want to play you that came out of the wing competition thing I did. So would you say if a viewer wanted a real spicy wing sauce, Wing Time would be the one to get?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the wing restaurants you go in with that are real hot. It's like a Wing Time type of sauce, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is better than Buffalo Wild Wing sauce.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, Amanda, now we want to ask you, do you like the small pieces better or you like the big ones?
I like the big ones better.
You do like the big ones better?
I do.
How about you? Which one you like better?
I like the big ones.
Big ones? Okay.
Yep.
How about you?
Big ones?
Big ones.
Big
okay.
ones.
Right.
Yep.
Big ones it is. Now, just go ahead and chow down.
Need more napkins.
Good off. We need more napkins.
Sorry, spots all over me.
Yeah, we need more.
You got a kick to it, boy. That afterbite.
Yeah, you got that right.
Ooh. That one's the afterbite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got a kick.
That is the Wing Time.
Yeah, Wing Time. It's got a big kick.
Got that right.
I've got mess.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I still like that one.
think it's time my ass whooping.
Smoking coals.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I still say that one's my favorite.
The smoke cold is good. It's sweet, kind of tangy at the same time, and then it's got a warm flavor in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all over us.
They just got a mess all over.
Amanda has too.
Let me get you some wet rags.
Amanda got her over too. It's Bozo. You know it's good to get it all over your nose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
Joe. Mm-hmm. And I got them tied my face there.
Oh, goose.
Well, you can't eat chicken wings without getting messy.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I do like the whole one better.
Yeah.
It's got more meat to it. And Daryl can't get in the kitchen because it's locked. And we ain't got the rag.
It'll
be alright.
Now, you know, it was a lot of smile, man. I mean, you know, it's funny how barbecue, I mean, it just makes everybody happy. You know, it was like a, it was really a joy to them. It's like an experience. You know, you sit down and, you know, you got all this huge flavor in front of you, and they were a little nervous about being on camera, but then they went in, and it was so funny. They tore them wings up. I mean, they had 14 wings when they started between the three of them. And, you know, I just realized the one lady took off and went in the living room, and then two ladies that were left ate probably 10 chicken wings between them, 10 whole chicken wings. And they had, you know, that's right, they did. They ate every bit of them. And so now Sunday I'm going to do, you know, what I consider an official chicken thigh competition cook. And we're going to have another panel come. And now Sunday I'm going to have Evan Williams barbecue sauce, the original. I'm going to have Smoking Coals. Smoking Coals just won the National Barbecue Association Championship. And so we're going to put Smoking Coals up against Evan Williams and Bone Sucking Hot Sauce. Now, it's still barbecue sauce, but it's the hot of bone sucking. You know, bone sucking is a big-time brand name in barbecue sauce made by, you know, professional barbecuers. It's great stuff. I think it's used in competition some. It's widely sold. You'll find it pretty much in every store, every big-time sauce store across the country. And, you know, it's in my store, too. I've got a wholesaler. I don't get directly from bone sucking. I've got a wholesaler. So we're going to put Bone Sucking versus Evan Williams versus Smoking Coals, and I'm going to do chicken thighs. Now, I went to Publix. Now, Publix chicken thighs are, from what I've seen, you know, in the Southeast, they're the number one thigh that's bought. I mean, automatically people get Publix chicken thighs. Now, the organics have come on pretty good. You know, you got Springer Mountain. Springer Mountain has actually sponsored some teams. You know, one time Mike Davis from Lotta Bull Barbecue was sponsored by Springer Mountain. And the good thing about organic chicken is you don't have to take all that fat off the back of the skin to make, you know, thin skin for bite-through skin. But I think there's pretty much a substantial amount of people that still use Publix chicken thighs. Now, who grows Publix chicken thighs? I have no idea. And actually, what I think I might do right now is I'm going to try to Google that. Publix chicken thighs are grown by who? You know, Google's supposed to tell you everything. Greenwise Market chicken thighs. Greenwise Market chicken thighs. For delicious all-natural meals, try Publix Greenwise Market chicken thighs. Our chicken are completely free of antibiotics. Huh. Okay, let's read what it says right here. For delicious all-natural meals, try Publix Greenwise Market chicken. Our chicken are completely free of antibiotics and added growth hormones, and they always have been. Plus, they are fed a vegetarian diet and raised with care in clean flock houses with plenty of fresh air, space, and light. So they're trying to... Okay, now wait a minute. This is Greenwise chicken. Okay. Now, is that their regular line, or is that... I didn't realize... Because that, you know, what they're saying there is it's organic chicken, you know, nothing added. Okay. Well, now let's see. Now, well, looks like they're pushing this Greenwise thing. Let's walk in here to the refrigerator right quick, and let's get the pack out and see if it says Greenwise on it. Because, folks, when you got antibiotic steroid chicken, they get, you know, a good eighth of an inch of fat on the back of the skin. And organic chicken doesn't have that. Organic chicken won't have a big layer of fat on the back of the skin. So I'm going to walk right in here to the refrigerator, and I'm going to get out the pack on top. Now, I got a pack of thighs for comparison for Columbia Farms, and I've done that today. And, oh, God, I mean. Chicken, all natural, fresh, never frozen, no preservatives, no artificial ingredients, minimally processed, keep refrigerated, chicken thighs, USDA grade, product of the U.S., season at desire, based with oil. Publix, all natural, fresh, never frozen, no preservatives, no artificial ingredients. Okay, well, I don't think these are the green ones. They're definitely really big. So, you know, if they're big oversized pieces, which, you know, really, to all of us, I believe now, you know, our standard chicken is antibiotic and steroid. I mean, you expect to have those great big pieces in every pack of chicken you get because, I mean, and you know, if I had to point at any one thing, I think that steroid and antibiotic chicken is what makes, you know, young people develop fast. And because, you know, more than beef, more than pork, I mean, I believe America eats chicken. And, but anyway, so we're going to go out Sunday, and we're going to do chicken thigh prep. I'm hoping to have at least four judges. We're going to use the BNTL scorecards that I've had made, and we're going to try to do just a, you know, little competition. Now, I'm going to cook it all, so it's going to be between the sauces, and I'm going to do three sauces, and, you know, each person will get one piece of each sauce. And then we'll have to see how it comes out. You know, I would love to see Smoking Cold, which is a huge competition sauce, you know, put up against a standard Evan Williams sauce and a hot bone sucking sauce, which really that's a competition sauce also. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see how the results play out. I want to see how some of these sauces, you know, that are not National Barbecue, you know, certified, National Barbecue Association certified, that, you know, which really means they just entered it into contest there. I don't think they really have any certification process. It's just a matter of, where they place in the contest of the National Barbecue Association. Now, you know, I've added about 50 more sauces to my list. I think we're up to 229 different sauces as far as barbecue sauces. I haven't added any more rubs. You know, as far as barbecue competition goes, I'm finding out that Smoking Guns and Cimarron Docks really, you know, everybody uses everything else as a base, but at the end of the day, before they turn it into a KCBS contest, they put Cimarron Docks and Smoking Guns on it. And that's not true for everybody, but I mean, it's like one of the primary things. What I want to try to do, folks, is weigh, you know, competition-grade barbecue versus just what's out in the general public. You know, let's get some of these competition, big-time competition sauces, which they're good. I mean, they're real good. Let's just put them up against a regular Joe Blow Old Lynchburg barbecue sauce. You know, that's one of them. It's widely sold. Well, it's on a lot of websites. I don't know how much it's actually selling. But, you know, they stay in business. You know, that's one thing I would like to find out is, like, a lot of these off brands that, you know, in the barbecue world, you know, we don't really ever hear about them too much. You know, you got Sweet Baby Ray's, and Blues Hog, and which I tell you what, Butcher Barbecue has come out with a red hot barbecue sauce, man. That Butcher Barbecue, it's being mixed into a lot of competition sauces with, you know, butchering something else, and they're doing pretty doggone good. And, you know, Butcher Barbecue in 2012 really, really, man, set it out. Them sauces and them injections and stuff that he put out are red hot. Totally smoking hot. And go ahead, Butcher. But anyway, okay, now, you know, I've got something funny tonight. Would be funny. Is now, Discovery Channel, you know, they want to be the number one mega on everything. You know, they got the Travel Channel. They got the, you know, here's something funny, folks. You guys ain't going to believe this, but I sent through the producer portal to the Discovery Channel that, you know, Barbecue Superstars want to try and do its own show on Discovery Channel. Well, if you stand back now that I'm this far out and you stand back and look, you know, Discovery Channel is the same thing as Barbecue Superstars. All right, they're way ahead of me. You know, Discovery Channel's got billions of dollars, probably. But, you know, they got Discovery Channel. They've got Destination America now, which I believe I had something to do with them forming Destination America. But True TV, you know, it's funny. TLC, no, let's see. No, TLC is not part of Discovery. They compete with each other. I think. I need to look that up. They've got probably 20 channels. Well, now, lo and behold, they're on YouTube. And they've got, Discovery has put this thing together. There's 68 YouTube channels. One of them is Revision 3. And so, you know, I don't know how I ran across Revision 3, and I didn't realize that it was part of the Discovery Channel coming on YouTube. But on Revision 3, I put in BBQ and search. And I came up with this video. And these guys are doing a little backyard cook, and they're talking about comic books. And so, you know, they're by no means, you know, big-time sophisticated barbecue cook. But, you know, I thought it would be interesting for all of us if I went ahead and played, you know, the segments where they're talking about barbecue. And now this was made 3 years ago. So, you know, I really feel like in the last 3 years, Barbecue Superstars has been in place 25 months. But in the last 3 years, barbecue has shot through the roof. I mean, it has. I mean, everybody all the way around. And, you know, I don't know who, what, why, or what, but I know that I've been busting my ass, you know, trying to put together some real barbecue competition information. And you know, some of what I've done is because I used to watch Barbecue Pit Boys. And, you know, you guys are cool, man. They are. I mean, they're not worried about no barbecue competition. They're just nothing but backyard. When I first, after I started Barbecue Superstars, and I wanted to go the competition route. You know, I wanted to see what the big time Myron Mixons, Chris Lilly's, Yazzie Delta Q's, Melissa Cookson, and I'm gonna start using always Melissa Cookson. You know, she doesn't deserve to be called Yazzie Delta Q. When we say Big Bob Gibson's, I mean, we say Chris Lilly, we say Chris Lilly. We don't say Big Bob Gibson's. And Melissa Cookson, you know, her name needs to be even as synonymous with Mike Mills and Myron and all of them. But anyway, I wanted to see, you know, what people out there who are on the cutting edge. Now, that's the thing about competition barbecue. It is the cutting edge of where barbecue is at. And now, you know, in defense of what Barbecue Superstars does, what's the big deal about being on the cutting edge of barbecue? Well, okay, well, you've got a bunch of guys that compete every weekend. They're trying to win it. And in the face of this competition, they're coming up with new flavor profiles, new tenderness, new profiles of the way the meat is processed, and then the resultant meat, the way it looks and all that, which it keeps getting better. But it's got power. It's what America wants. And so leaving Barbecue Pit Boys from YouTube, which they're the king of YouTube. They've got more views on Barbecue Pit Boys than any other video ever on barbecue, and they got pretty good production now. So now I found these guys on Discovery Channel on YouTube, and I want you to listen. Now think about what they're saying. If you're a big time barbecue cook out there, you get a kick out of it. You know, I think 90% of the people out there who don't cook barbecue all the time, this is what they're thinking. And I thought it'd be interesting to play this. So let's play this right quick, and then we'll come back.
Maybe we just go to the meeting. It's fine.
Secret. Fine.
Give me the corn.
I'm going to put it on now. Well, why don't we do that when we open?
We need time here, man.
Yeah.
So we can be talking. So do the thing.
What thing?
Just talk. Do the thing. We'll go in. We'll make the stuff. We're going to
start
the
show.
Yes.
iFanboy, 4th of July, comic book cookout.
Starting.
I'm Ron Richards, and I'm here with...
Connor Kilpatrick.
I'm Josh Flanagan, and I have corn.
You do have corn.
Josh is going to put some corn on the grill, and what we would like to do on these barbecue shows, if you haven't seen them before, is we like to get some listener mail or viewer mail and answer those while we cook. We have some corn that Josh is doing. We have some other food behind Ron that we're going to get to in a bit. But
what makes this corn special, Josh?
It's a lot of people will grill corn, and they keep the husk on.
Yeah.
What I do is I make a herb butter,
okay,
and you put it all over the outside, and then you cook it over high heat, and you let it get all charred up, and people think it's burned, but it's not. It's good.
Okay. Herb butter, huh?
So Josh,
but they're not.
You're missing them.
All right, so as Connor mentioned, we're going to be cooking some good food. We're going to be answering your emails.
And we're going to talk about the food while we do this. So let's get going.
Let's do our first question. Do we need to put anything else on before we do this? Or?
You can put some chicken wings.
All right, Ron, got some chicken wings here, Ron. After I do the first question, we'll talk about the chicken wings.
Sure.
First question is from Jeff. And Jeff said,
space.
I know, but we don't have a lot of room.
But if you don't leave space, it won't cook good. It steams it instead of making it crispy.
Okay.
All right, this is how it's going to be. I see.
You made me stand in front of the grill. It's hot. Kind of cranky.
We should mention that last year we did this. It was 102 degrees today. It's probably in the mid-80s.
It's like 85, yeah.
It's actually a nice day today, but it's still kind of hot.
We're on beautiful Long Island.
I'm good over here. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. So that's it for merchandise?
Well, it's not chicken.
So what are the wings here?
So the wings, these are standard wing, chicken leg kind of drumette kind of things. Mm-hmm. You can get them at any store, any supermarket, whatever. With honey barbecue sauce poured on. I think we did this last year, too.
Yeah.
It's
and
a mainstay
year
at our barbecue. Honey barbecue sauce. Put them all in a bowl, mix in the barbecue sauce. Get your hands dirty. Get them in there mixing together. And then put the bowl in the fridge for a couple hours. Forget about it. Come back. Put them back here.
Don't lick your fingers directly out of the raw chicken.
Very good.
What about licking the raw chicken? Because I like to do that.
I just like to eat the raw chicken.
That's fine.
I find when you lick them and you pour the sauce on, stuff sticks better.
Yeah, then you die. Yeah. So that's cool.
So you put them on the grill and you just want to. And the thing is that because there's sugar in the barbecue sauce can char real quickly. So you want to keep flipping them and that sort of thing.
Is the heat too low? It doesn't seem like they're cooking.
Yeah, we need more juice.
Seems like they're just sort of sitting there. Although they still look tasty.
Yeah,
all right.
They're good.
You leave a little space.
I know, but we don't have a lot of room.
But if you don't leave space, it won't cook good. It steams it instead of making it crispy.
Okay.
All right, this is how it's going to be, I see.
You made me stand in front of the grill. It's hot. Kind of cranky.
We should mention that last year we did this. It was 102 degrees today. It's probably in the mid-80s.
It's like 85, yeah.
It's actually a nice day today, but it's still kind of hot.
We're on beautiful Long Island.
I'm good over here.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. So that's it for
food. Question for food.
Well, let's do some food. Let's put some more food on there.
So do you want to talk about the ribs here, Josh?
Yeah, we cheaped out. It was like, do you want to cook ribs? Rib cooking is a fucking severe process.
Now, here's the thing. We have a good rib recipe.
I have a great rib recipe. What you do is you take baby back ribs, or even spare ribs it works with, and you cut them into like square chunks.
Fours.
Yeah, you cover them all with salt and pepper on both sides, and you stack them three high, like three on top of each other. You put them in an oven at 300.
The night before.
Yeah, six or four hours. You cook them. Three high at 300 degrees in an oven, and then every half an hour you rotate them. So the one on top goes on the bottom, and that bastes them without boiling them. Because when you boil them, all the flavor and all the juices and the fat come out of it, and there you got nothing left.
Right.
So
then you take them out of the oven, you wrap them in tin foil.
I put sauce and stuff all over them.
Yeah, you put the barbecue sauce on them, then wrap them in tin foil, then put them in the fridge overnight. Then the next day, put them on the grill, and you're just reheating them because they cook basically in the oven.
So we bought the ones that you reheat.
Yeah, we went to the store.
So imagine that we did that.
Yeah.
And it's very good. I've done it.
But these
many
are
times.
Good too. These are baby back ribs. And
we don't have the time.
Exactly.
Real rib people, like if you're cooking like on a smoker or whatever, spare ribs are but they're harder to cook because if you do it wrong, they're very tough. Baby back ribs are kind of easy. Mm. I'm kind of a rib guy.
I like baby back ribs. I've always
because they're
rib
easy. But there's more fat. They cook easier. Yeah. But when you really do it like with a slow, long smoking process, the spare rib.
Yeah. I almost accidentally bought beef ribs. I don't like the Flintstones.
I like they're fun to eat because
they're like this big.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can hold the end of the bone and do this.
But I don't really like them.
Yeah.
They're fun. Like I like their visual.
It's
something like a DVD like
ooh,
you would
nice.
Buy.
That was a good noise.
Pop fat.
Nice.
Fat.
That's a good smell too.
You could, but you don't have to.
I like flipping.
I know you want to.
Ron's going
to
rotate.
But there's also a thing I would go back
what
and
happened?
I get splatted.
And he lost an eye.
He made the look like I just made a mistake, and I thought maybe he dropped
it. No. Like I squeezed the chicken. I got chicken juice.
Four.
Right.
See,
this is how you want the wing to look.
That's caramelization. That's flavor.
Yeah. Mm.
Can I eat that?
No.
All right. They look really good, by the way.
The little wings, there's nothing more satisfying than making your own little wings. I absolutely love it. Sorry.
That's okay. All right, well, we got a good sort of...
Ooh. That one.
Yeah, they can't see that, but that's awesome.
Yeah. No, the burner's definitely on over there.
Yeah.
You want to rotate in and out.
This particular grill is a new grill for us, and it took a little while to heat up, but now that it's heating up, we see everything's cooking real nice.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on those ribs, Josh, because they don't take too long to cook.
They're already cooked. We wouldn't really be able to do anything to them.
We're just eating them.
Those look awesome.
Almost right, there.
One of those ones back there.
Slow down a little.
Do we need to bring the front ones to the back to the front?
I kind of did that a little bit.
Right.
Look at you, backseat griller.
How is the corn looking, Josh?
Coming along. It takes a while. It's not a short thing. You do it over high heat, and you just let it go for a while. You rotate it so one side doesn't burn more than the other.
All right, and the ribs?
See? Largely unchanged.
We flip them?
No, no, no. No, see, there's no caramelization of the sauce even going on
so
yet.
So what define caramelization there, Josh.
Caramelization is when the sugar...
I like we use our names a lot in this episode more.
It's like, Josh!
It's when the sugar forms a crust like that.
Yeah.
And that's where flavor comes from. So the sugar and the fat come together and form a crust.
I thought flavor comes from Marlboro's.
Flavor Country.
Flavor Country.
Oh, okay.
That's where the sugar comes from, Flavor Country. They export it.
It's probably like a culinary student out there.
You're wrong. Stupid. I know, yeah. We're not doing a cooking show.
Yeah,
we're all of the questions away, which would have been fun.
That would have been awesome.
Is there another
question? Well, now we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We're going to pay some bills.
I love to answer questions.
And then we're going to eat some more food.
And that code.
You'll notice I moved out of the way.
Josh couldn't take the heat.
I did. I took it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you got out. You got out.
You see my hair's getting bigger? That's how you can tell.
Yeah, I know. So as we're talking about this, I'm watching like it get wetter and wetter.
Yeah, it goes up.
Yeah.
Like a plant.
So we have chicken on the grill, we have ribs on the grill, we have corn on the grill, but we're not done yet.
No, not stopping there.
Ron, you want to tell the people about this?
So the Long Island special, the Italian sausage, this is the sweet sausage. It's got your meat, I don't know what kind, I don't care.
Pork.
I don't want to know. And some fennel in there.
It's pork sauce. That's what you make sausage from.
So, and what we've done is this has come in a little spiral kind of side. Put two skewers in there to make it easier to handle.
All right, throw it on there. The eye.
Well, and
there's not really room for it because it's a bit of a smaller grill than we usually use. But
there you go. Yeah, good enough.
What can you do?
It's gonna get hot real quick, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll take this. All right.
Do we have a? We don't have a. We don't have a thing to hold that, do we?
No, we don't have any sort of hot thing. I've got a paper towel in my pocket, and I'm hoping that's going to shield me from the heat.
You can use the user email.
Yeah. We use the tongs.
Here's the thing about this episode. Normally, there's a lot more pre-production involved. This one...
Don't tell them.
We just kind of showed up.
All right.
And did our thing. So that's the thing. All right, here's our next question.
Ooh, it's hot back here.
Oh.
Joe G. asks... Anything else? All right, our final question, as the meat really starts to caramelize, which looks really lovely.
Yeah, your mouth is watering.
I haven't eaten any food today. In preparation for this. How is the sausage going? Is it?
It's still early.
Don't touch it. It's not even going to be close.
I did flip the ribs, though.
Rib flipper.
And how's the corn?
I don't know. That's Josh's.
You're turning your back to all the good people.
Josh's area. How's the corn?
It's fine.
Okay.
All right. Jeez.
You're like the corn apologist. It's fine. Leave it alone.
You want to futz with everything all the time. Stop picking at it.
Well, because, you know, men want to futz with meat.
That's why you don't do that, though. You let it sit there and let it go.
Yeah.
You got to trust yourself.
You like to feel like you're doing something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is why men are useless.
Me ribs are looking good.
Oh, those look good.
Those are done.
So we got ribs. Those ribs are done. We can get a plate on those guys.
Or them guys on a plate. I read that if you know a rib is done, if you hold it upside down and it comes across, it comes apart once the connective tissue is dissolved enough, that's how you
don't
know
call it tissue.
Yeah, that ruins it.
Yeah.
We can put some more wings on there, can't we?
Yeah, we could. I just ate off of this, though. Is that a problem?
All you there,
cowboy.
Infection boy.
All right, so that's...
Well, there you go. Now, I mean, there's so many things we could discuss about this. About these guys grilling in the backyard. One thing I do want to commend the one fellow on is that he said, don't boil the ribs. If you boil the ribs, then all the fat and all the juice and taste is gone. So that was good. And in some kind of small way, I mean, I don't know why he'd stack them up in three because... in a regular conventional oven, if you stick ribs in it, if you really put a lot of rub on it and stuff, I guess the rub would probably get all over the oven. Now, his idea of rub was salt and pepper. But of course, you know, our idea of rubs might be 20 or 30 different spices combined. And, my point of view now, I don't think I'll ever make a rub in my life. Why make it? I mean, my God, Plowboys, Everglades season. I mean, that's pretty doggone good. But you know, Blues Hog has got a heck of a rub now. I don't know how many years he's had it, but I'm gonna tell you something. It's being used now big time in competition, and it's a good red rub. And you know, they were talking about caramelization. You know, I think all of us know that you put a good red rub on a Boston butt or on chicken, And then the caramelization is the meat actually turning a good caramel color on the outside. You know, the rub, like Bob, Mike Mill said, you know, that's a dry marinade. And, you know, if you think about what the three guys were saying, everything's related to the sauce. Now, what they thought about the chicken wings was, is that you put barbecue sauce on it first. Now, in the video, you know, every one of those wings had barbecue sauce on them. So their seasoning was primarily barbecue sauce. And they threw them on the grill on high heat, which I assume was probably 400 or 500 degrees. And then they stood there on their gas grill and proceeded to burn the living junk out of those wings. They were turning blacker as I watched them. And by the time I pulled them off, they were very well burnt. And then the ribs itself, you know, they did cook them prior, so all they were doing was heating them up. But he turned them over on the top, and he burnt the top of the ribs pretty bad. And, you know, after being out there with all these competition cooks, the prettiest ribs, you know, I've seen probably 20 different cooks. Man, they come out just the beautiful caramel color underneath, and then that beautiful shiny, almost like a mirror barbecue sauce that you put on top. And, you know, barbecue sauce, I agree with KCBS, is there to accent the meat, but you've already done the work on the meat that the meat tastes good on its own. I mean, the meat is fantastic, but you had that barbecue sauce, and now you've done making it brilliant. You know, like the guy on Guinness Beer, you know. That barbecue sauce was brilliant. And so we're going to go out Sunday. We're going to test that out. And some of my videos are a little long, but, you know, for people like these guys that are in the backyard and are talking about stacking their ribs three high and putting them in the oven, you know, I want to try to produce something that's not just written. And a lot of these websites out there are written. And I tell you why there's so many written websites is because on Google, the written word ranks higher than video and radio. If, you know, you write a bunch of words on a page on the computer, Google reads that page, and then when somebody searches one of those words, it ranks, you know, higher. But, you know, for me, I don't think, I wouldn't go up and read a computer page that's got 10 pages down on it. I would rather hit a button, sit back, and watch somebody cook for me, because I think there's a lot, you know, like they say, there's a lot to do with a picture that says 1,000 words. And you can describe something all day, but if you're not as good as Michelangelo, you know, you're probably not going to be able to figure out exactly what they're saying. You know, just from what they were saying, he said, oh, the barbecue looks so good. He didn't say anything about the char on the chicken or the char was on top of the ribs. He said it looked so good. And the corn, you know, it got burned up pretty bad too. And what we want to do, hopefully now I got a backwoods smoker coming, and we're going to get on it. And, you know, okay, I've done a lot of watching and studying. I've been to a whole bunch of barbecue schools, and but I haven't actually done it, you know. And one reason I haven't done much of it is because I thought it was, you know, I'm not going to ever compete. I'll never compete because competition belongs to those big-time competitors out there that spend that big money and work hard and do all the practicing. And it's not fair for me to compete when I got so many barbecue schools for free. Plus, you know, I don't want them to feel like I'm going up against them, but I am going to get out here and cook and do a bunch of videos, and I'll tell you exactly why. And I'll go ahead and put it out there. Amazing Ribs, that website, Amazing Ribs, has not held back anything. As far as I'm concerned, Amazing Ribs has exposed the whole barbecue world, everything and anything that he could write down. He wrote it down. He put diagrams out there. He has given away the house with the keys and the lawn chairs. Amazing Ribs website has given it all away. So, you know, what can barbecue superstars do? But we got to compete. You know, I got to compete with the guy. I hate that he's done all the stuff he's done, because I feel like he's trying to give the house away. But, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is the golden rule. And I'm not just saying this to say it. I'm saying it because of the truth. If you go to a barbecue school with some of these big championship cooks, you'll learn more there than you can ever learn off my videos or everything that guy wrote down. You'll never learn it like you can. If you go to Myron Mixon's compound down there in Unadilla and you take his school, you're going to learn how to cook barbecue. You're going to learn a whole lot real quick, because you're going to be in there with the meat, you're going to be in there with the heat, and you're going to realize the order of what it takes to turn that shoulder into a championship piece of barbecue. And there's no way that you'll ever watch a video I make and do what you could do down at Miley Mixon's compound. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can point you in the right direction, and I can get you started. But look up on the Internet. Now, if you go to Barbecue Superstars, we've got the Barbecue Super Pack now. And because of Amazing Ribs, I've got every category and every type of major barbecue that's cooked. Now, I haven't got them all, because essentially any food that you can eat can be barbecued, including cakes, pies. I don't care what it is. That blue smoke will make it just a little more magic. Baby, I'll never be able to get all that on there. I might get a lot of it, but I can't get it all. But, you know, I've written some stuff because, you know, on Google, that's what ranks. That's where I'm going to start building as much barbecue information as I can. And, but I encourage you, I got a list of barbecue classes, which I'm hoping is the most, you know, comprehensive list that's ever been made. I don't give classes, so I'm not in competition with anybody in the barbecue world in any way. I'm here as a support system. I'm just trying to build the most fantastic barbecue website that's ever been built to draw the whole world into something that will bring the world back together, and also to promote everybody who works hard in barbecue. You know, Barbecue Dave, you know, he's in the chat room. That boy just loves barbecue. You know, I love Barbecue Dave, man. You know, he's a good soul. He's one of us, you know. People who truly love to cook barbecue and get that blue smoke coming up over the top of the grill and down through that community, because I am convinced that blue smoke ain't no joke. And folks, it will straighten out this whole country. It will heal twisted minds, and it'll bring back the American spirit that somewhere along the way CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all these guys have taken away from us. And I do agree there are people out there who have problems, you know, and watching all these horror movies and all these, you know, it don't help. And lack of opportunity, and, you know, in the black community for years and years, you know, it's the lack of opportunity that causes all the crime. Well, it's all of us now, all of us, every one of us. Lack of opportunity is causing all the crime. And the crime is, it's a crime. So, you know, I said at the outset of Barbecue Superstars, and I'll say it again. If all of us in America will buy us a great big old smoker, and on maybe Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, or Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we all got together, cooked four or five Boston butts, the whole hog, I don't know, brisket, a big old chuck, you know, a smoked sirloin, a whole sirloin butt. I'm not talking about cutting it up into steaks. I'm talking about a whole 10 or 12 pound sirloin butt. They got a thing called beef knuckle. That's another part of the cow. It doesn't cost as much as a sirloin, but it looks like one. Any, you know, good cut of beef. Beef ribs, yeah, they're big. Hey, just cut them up a little smaller instead of giving a whole rib, you know, take a half. If everybody in America did that, our meat, poultry, seafood, and cattle industry would get so strong because of demand that then aluminum or tinfoil and aluminum pans, steel for knives and plasticware, Ziploc bags, you know. Every industry in the whole world is represented in a big old, big smoker cookout by a backwoods smoker. It would really help restart our economy. Hey, it would make everybody feel better. People would communicate and get together. And then, you know what? Hey, we'd all get America back on the road and you know, get back where it's supposed to be. You know, Lang is a good smoker. You know, I got to give my man credit there. Lang is a great offset. He's got the flow of the smoke perfected in that Lang. And, you know, as far as offsets go, you got to feed it some wood. But not a crazy amount. But you do have to add a little bit every hour or every hour and a half. Lang is a good cooker. Jamie that makes the $25,000 smoker. I forget what it's called. Jambo. He's got an amazing smoker. You know, you just put a couple pieces of wood in, get it up to temp, and it'll carry that temp for a long time. It's still not an insulated gravity fed that'll go 12 hours, but for a barbecue competition, you could do it with, you know, 12, 14 pieces of wood. The Yoder smokers is good. Yoder's about the same thing as the Jambo. Not quite as much. I don't believe it's quite as much as the Jambo, but Mike Davis from Lotta Bull has been cooking on it for a long time. And your pellet grills. Your pellet grills are good, too. Pellet grills are gravity-fed. A pellet grill, you can fill up and go, you know, a good 10, 12. If you got a big enough hopper, you know, 24 hours. And it'll stay on a constant temperature. It's electric as far as the eye that burns the wood. And it'll maintain a perfect temperature. But, you know, for big time barbecue cooking, there ain't nothing like them insulated gravity feds. They, a lot of the competitors are going to, you put that barbecue guru on it, and you're actually going to a cooker that's better than a stove in your house, because some of those chambers have a perfect temperature just about left to right, front to back. And then you got that blue smoke, and what else can you ask for? Hey, you get a perfect temperature in the blue smoke, you done made it home. And, you know, just the last word, all you backyard cooks out there, put the rub on it and cook it. And then put the barbecue sauce on it as a glaze. It's a glaze. It's not part of the cooking process. The sugar and the barbecue sauce, nine times now, if it's got turbinado sugar in it, there's one other sugar that'll cook even at a higher temperature than turbinado sugar in it, then, you know, it won't burn. But I don't know very many barbecue sauces that are sweeten the turbinado or the other sugar because they don't sweeten that well. Now you can put them on your barbecue inside your cooker, and it'll melt onto the barbecue without the but it's a brown sugar. It's a raw sugar. It's not like trying to sweeten a barbecue sauce with. So don't put your barbecue sauce on too early. If you get it too hot, it'll turn your barbecue black. And also another thing, if you go to Steve Overlay's Jack Daniel's Super Pack, something I didn't know. If you use too much wood, now this is what he said, it'll turn your charcoal dark. I mean, it'll turn your barbecue dark. So if you put a lot of wood into any kind of cooker, then when you pull your barbecue out, it might go from nice, beautiful caramel red to a little bit more like dark red or even darker red. And you can turn your brisket black if you cook it with a whole lot of wood. And that's what he said. It might be something to it. He said he only uses one piece of wood per cook, and he cooks primarily with charcoal. So the meat won't get quite as dark by the end of the process. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Of course, he was talking about oak when he said that. You know, the fruit woods are not supposed to be as strong and put as much flavor, but they might turn your barbecue darker. Because wood is wood, and that little ash and then little extra stuff is coming up out of that wood and going into the meat. So there might be something to it. You know, Steve's a pretty good cook. And we're glad you came by, you know. Just in closing, I kind of freaked out. I can't believe that ass-whooping barbecue sauce whooped everybody's ass on the chicken wings. And congratulations to ass-whooping. I don't know who the cook is that came up with ass-whooping or where it got started. But according to the panel we had, if you are going to cook me some chicken wings, try to find some place out there, probably on the Internet. I've never seen it in the store. Get you some ass-whooping golden barbecue sauce and cook you a little barbecue. Well, it's Friday night. I hope you all going to have a great night. And hope everybody had a good time with Barbecue Superstars tonight. Now, we're coming out of our Christmas season into New Year's. Of course, Sunday we'll have the Chris Chadwick Show, 7 o'clock Eastern. Chris Chadwick's got a wonderful show, and the big draw for Chris Chadwick, of course, is you can call in easily. He will take your call if you call 347-202-0263. He will take your call. And then Monday and Tuesday now, we're going to be having some special New Year's Eve celebration shows. I'm going to be loading some cool stuff, and we'll be broadcasting those live. And, you know, the stuff I did over Christmas, it went pretty well. We did The Hunchback of Notre Dame. We did Moby Dick. Moby Dick was cool. That was a great radio show. But I'll have some entertainment on Monday and Tuesday because they're going to take a New Year's break. And then Wednesday, Lulu's Barbecue will start our regular lineup again. And so then Wednesday on, I guess for the next year, we'll see, you know, July 4th or whatever. Killer Bees on Monday at 7 p.m. Whiskey Bet in the Pit, 7 p.m. Eastern. Lulu's, 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. And Barbecue Shop Talk on Thursday with Mark Busby and Tim Handy. And they've got some great barbecue information coming out of Midlands and South Carolina down in Charleston. They're both big-time barbecue experts. And, you know, I encourage everybody, if you want to learn your craft, make sure you tune in Thursday nights at 7. And, of course, Friday Night Lights, every Friday I'll be coming to you 7 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be doing stuff like this. Now, next week, hopefully, I'll have my chicken prep, what the panel said, and we'll go over how the sauces did according to these judges. We'll be doing the BNTL scorecard. So we'll see how the scores run out, and it'll be a good time. Now, the biggest thing I want to encourage you to do this weekend is go on down to the grocery store and get yourself a Boston butt. If you never cooked a Boston butt before, go down and get one, put it on your grill, maybe 250, and let it sit there for 4 hours. Take it out, double lay down some tinfoil, set that Boston butt in the middle of your tinfoil, pull it up and make a bowl, and then pour you in a little guava nectar, a little apple juice, and a little pineapple juice. And then get two more pieces of tinfoil and put it over top of the whole thing. Now, I didn't say rub it at all. I'm telling you how to do it just basic if you don't know how to cut barbecue. Roll the four edges together. Keep the bowl with the lid on it. Put it back on the cooker at 250. Let it sit on there another 4 hours. Take it off. Open one end of the tinfoil up just a little bit. Let it set for 30 minutes. Take it all out of everything. Put a bunch of sauce on it. Put it back on the grill. Maybe 30 minutes. Set the glaze. Bring it out. Don't chop it till your friends and your family get there. You chop it before they get there to dry out. But let it rest. Try to time it out where when you take it off that last time, everybody's ready to eat. Chop that thing up. Now, if you got to cut it up, you didn't cook it long enough, or you didn't cook it hot enough. If you could just break it apart with your hands and then chop it up so it's a good sandwich, or take out the pieces. And look, don't put no barbecue sauce directly on it. Hand barbecue sauce out. Let them put their own sauce. Let them decide. But offer them a mustard, offer them a tomato, and offer them a vinegar base, and then let them make a plate. Now, if you want everybody to really calm down, make you a great big thing of mashed potatoes to go with it. But if you want everybody to have a little energy, cook you some rice, not a whole lot, and you can take some of that as you, a little bit of that juice off that Boston butt, make gravy, and then cook whatever kind of vegetables you want. And you know what? Man, when they start working on their Boston butts and that barbecue sauce starts slinging around there after you've already cooked them and it's all done, everybody's going to get happy. It's going to get nice. And everybody in the whole place is going to get right. And it's going to be a nice day, folks. And you know what? We love every one of you, man. And we appreciate y'all coming by today. And I got to find us a good song to go out with. And I'll tell you which one I really like. It's Jason Aldean, Headed Down a Back Road. We watched him at the Country Music Awards down there in Las Vegas sing this thing. And he's just a good old country guy. And I actually only heard the song one time before that, and I forgot it. And then when he came out and started singing it, Brad Kay was sitting over there singing it. And they had video going along with it. And it was really good. Oh, you know what? I got it under Back Roads. That's what it is. There it is. All right. Y'all have a good night, man. Cook you some barbecue. This is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars. Man, I'm Moody Q. I hope you have a great night. And Barbecue Dave, I hope you have a good night, too. We love every one of you out there. We'll be back next Friday. Man, Dorsey Odell made the intro for Whiskey Bet. You know that boy's going to mess around and make it. He's going to mess around and become a star.
I'm chilling on the dirt road, laid back, swimming like I'm George Jones.
smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights has got me reminiscing on the good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting Easy Street on mud tires. Back in the day, Pop's Farm was a place to go. Load the truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girls. King in the can and the Marlboro man. Jack and Jim were a few good men. Where you learn how to kiss and cuss and fight too. Better watch out for the boys in blue. And all this small town, he said, she said. Ain't it funny how rumors spread? Like I know something y'all don't know. And that talk is getting old. You better mind your business, man. Watch your mouth before I can knock that loud mouth out. I'm tired of talking, man. Y'all ain't listening. The more dirt road is what y'all will. I'm chilling on the dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on the good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting Easy Street on the time. Back and think about them good old days, the way we were raised in our southern ways. And we like cornbread and biscuits, and if it's broke around here, we fix it. I can take y'all where you need to go, down to my hood, back in them woods. We do it different around here, that's right, but we sure do it good, and we do it all night. So if you really want to know how it feels to get off the road, trucks and four wheels, jump on in, and man, tell your friends, we'll raise some hell with a lifetime. Chilling on the dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones.